Yeah, we start here on the bottom of Nun Chet Amud Bet. We're just going to continue based on the braita that we had brought from yesterday, which is certain things that if the animal had consumed, that we still say kshira. And those were hilitia tia, which is crowfoot, chiltit, which we had seen before, which is this esophutida. And then we also had pilpilim, all of those, achla, samamavit, or head poison, kshira. All of those items, kshira. So now we're on the last line of Nun Chet Amud Bet, where the Gemara says, Maiteya, what is this crowfoot that we're talking about? Amar Rav Yehuda, Ikra de Mirirta. It's the root of Mirirta, or you can see here in the Nusach Rina Masar Sashas, with de Mirirta. And the two explanations for that is either the root of Sukkari or a root of Aconite. One of those two, and that's what's being described here by the Tia. Amar Rav Yehuda, Haiman de Achal Tlato Tikle Chiltit. A person who consumes, eats, 3 shekel worth of chiltit. Chiltit, again, is this esophutida. Aliba reikono, on an empty stomach. Mishtalach mashche. His skin will fall off. So again, 3 shekel is probably 3 shekel of chulin, which are half of the shekel kodesh. So I'm talking about a half shekel kodesh. The weight of 3 half shekel kodesh, or 1 half shekel kodesh, of this chiltit. If someone eats that on an empty stomach, his skin would just fall off. Such a circumstance came about with me. I had already gotten through 1 shekel's worth of this chiltita. Had I not been sitting in water, I would have lost my skin already. And I said about myself, that wisdom will keep its owner alive, that I was able to understand the danger in consuming this item. And therefore, I put myself into water to protect myself from losing my skin, meaning that he kept himself in the cool water in order that his skin would not just fall off, as well as the fact that he didn't continue to eat it. He didn't go past the 1 shekel amount, meaning that had he gone up to 3 shekel, then I don't know if it would have been possible for him to keep his skin on. Samar of Yosef, Haiman de Ochel Shitzare Beya, Bey, someone who can eat 16 eggs, Ver Arbe'e Amguze, 40 nuts, Vishav Botita de Parche, and it consume 7 nabutita, or berries, and the parche, Rashi calls it the caper bush. It's a kaparir. So these are either the seeds or the berries of the caper bush. Vishati, and then he drinks viat dubsha, or viat halug of honey, bitkufat tamuz, does this on the summer solstice, alibere kono, on an empty stomach, mitaker talye delibe, the strings of his heart will become detached or uprooted, whatever that means. Rashi says, kol ikur chibur libo nekar, all the major connections, attachments of his heart will be undone. We're going to achel kulu, that he ate all of this. So it seems to be that he overate, he ate way too much over here of these items on a very hot day and an empty stomach that doesn't leave him in a good condition. O bar davyo, it was a young deer, the Atal Beresh Galuta, was brought in front of the Beresh Galuta. Have a mifsak karan batraito. Its hind legs were cut off. Badke Rav Bitsomet Agidim. Rav went to check the most logical location, which is the area where we have the juncture of the tendons, and where they had built up the tendons, to check if they were still intact and if they were okay. Because we know that that's one of the items that could cause it to be a treif of achshere. He said, it looks fine. Savor the mechel minei be'umtza. He was ready to eat from it. Be'umtza, as Rashi points out, umtza is that it's lightly cooked or lightly roasted after it's been heavily salted. Enu tzli kol kach, it's not roasted so well, but tanur ele mochol ma'od, salts it very heavily, but tzli kol duhu, singes it, roasts it gently, ala gechalim, and then he eats it. So that's who he was planning on eating the meat. He was excited. It's his delicacy. Amalei Shmuel lo chayish mar le'nikure. Rav, aren't you worried about the fact that the possibility that there was a nachash that sunk its teeth, its venom, into this animal, and you can't see that because you're missing the hind legs? Amalei Maita kanto. So what should I do over here? How do I know? How can I figure this out? We're now after the fact. We don't have the area or the legs possibly where it could have been bitten. So he says, Notve bitanura, place it into the oven. Diu bodik nafshe, because it checks itself. Otve, he placed it into the oven. Nafal tilche tilche. Piece by piece, it started to fall off. And so it was evident that there had been some venom of the snake that was deposited in the meat or had poisoned the meat. Kore Shmuel alei derav. Shmuel says about Rav, lo yeune letzadik kol oven. No bad will befall the tzadik. So therefore, Rav was protected from eating such meat or the poisonous meat, even though it was Shmuel himself who helped him out with it, nevertheless, the fact that Shmuel was there was Ashkocha, and that was there to protect or take care of Rav. And Rav, Kari Rav Aleid Shmuel, V'choraz lo anes lach. Rav says about Shmuel that no secret has been withheld from you or hidden from you. There, in reference in Daniel, it's referring to the Daniel the Navi. As over here, he applied it to Shmuel, that Shmuel knew all the secrets. He knew what to ask over here and what to do over here to protect. All right, now we have a Mishnah. Mishnah says, Simanei behema v'chaya nimru min haTorah. Simanei kashrut of a behema and a chaya are explicit in the Torah. Simanei ha'of lo nimru. When it comes to the fowl or birds, there is no mention of what the simanim are for the birds. All we have in the Torah is a list of birds that are not kasher. Aval chamru chachamim, the chachamim tried through that list and through the Misora to define for us what it is that makes an of tameh or an of tahor. It says, kol of adores tameh. Any bird that grabs its prey with its claws to eat it is tameh. Kosheish lo etzba yitera. Anyone who has an extra toe. Now this etzba yitera, one possibility, as described here, by Rashi, is that in the back, behind, on the leg itself, you have the three toes in front, and then on the back of the leg, there's an additional toe over there that hangs down on the vertical of the leg. That's the etzba yitera we're speaking about. That's one possibility. I think the Ran suggests that the other possibility of the etzba yitera over here is that in the three toes of the bird, the middle toe is much longer than the other two toes. The middle toe is much longer than the other two toes, and that's what it means, etzba yitera. Not that there's an extra finger, but rather that etzba is yitera, is longer than the others. V'zefek v'kurkabeno niklaf tahor. So any animal that has the etzba yitera, its crop and its gizzard are peel off easily. The membrane peels off easily. Tahor. Those birds are considered to be tahor. B'lazib rabbi tzadok omer kol of hacholeket raglav tameh. Any bird, and we'll get to this in the Gemara, that you place upon a string, and it divides its toes evenly over the string, that bird is classified as being tamei. That's an indication of the fact that it would be tamei. Ubechagavim. And what about, call them the locust, the grasshoppers? What's the din there? Again, the Torah gives us a list of items, but does not give us the simanim. So kosheish lo arba raglaim, the insect here has to have four legs. V'arba knafayim, four wings. Vikartsulayim, I like to call them jumpers. He has these longer legs that allow him to jump. Viknafav chofim et rubo, and its wings cover the majority of the body. So those would be the simanim. Rabbi Yossi adds in there, in addition to that, Omer ushmo chagav. That not only do you have to have all these simanim, it also have a mesora that the name of the insect is a chagav, is a grasshopper or a locust. Ubedagim. The game, which we do have a definition in the Torah for, and Siman in the Torah, Kosheish no snapir v'kaskeset, anything that has fins and scales. Behud Omer, Shnei kaskesim, usnapir echad, two fins and scales. Ve'elohein kaskesim, akuvuim bo. What are called kaskesim here? Things that are attached, affixed to it. Usnapirim opareach mehem. And this eirim are things that leave it, and that come off of it. They will see this when we get to it later in the Gemara, and Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, and there Rashi defines for us what this means, turns them snapir and kaskeset, and he says, Aporech behem, shat behem al pnei amayim, he floats with them on top of the water. Kuvim bo, those that are affixed to it, is yoter min hasnapirim, shein zazim elehem, more than snapirim, they don't leave it at all. El biyadayim, you have to peel them off with your hands. Aval kol hasnapirim, hu yochol kashkeshan. Whereas when it comes to the snapirim, you can take them off. If you just rub them, they'll come off. So again, we're talking about the fins and the scales. So the fins, or the snapirim, are used for it to swim or to float by. And the kaskasim are the scales that can be rubbed off, which are attached to the fish, and they have to be rubbed to come off of the fish. Right now, the Gemara says, Tanu Banan, Eluhein simanei behema. These are the simanim of behema. Kol mehema mefreset parsa v'shosad shesa. So it has to be split hoofed. Umalat gera behema. It chews its cud. That is the definition or the simanim that are brought in the Torah for a behema. So kol behema shemalat gera, the Gemara says, any animal that is chews its cud, yedua shein lashinaim lamala, you know that it has no upper teeth, v'taora, and it's a kosher animal. The Gemara says, v'klalohu, is that really a principle? Very gamal, you have the camel, demala gerahu, it does chew its cud. Ve'en lo shanayim lamala. It does not have teeth above. V'tameh. And it's one of the items listed in the Torah as being an animal that's tameh. So how can you make such a principle? Where it says, gamal nibe itle. When it comes to the camel actually has canines. It has sharp teeth or in the area of the incisors, like canines. And therefore, it does have upper teeth. Where it says, v'hari ben gamal, a young camel, the nibe nabalitle, the canines haven't come out yet. They haven't emerged yet. And therefore, it doesn't have those teeth. So now you have malet geira. It chews its cud. It does not have upper teeth. And it's still tameh. It's still problematic. Vitu. In addition to that, hare shafan. You have the badger, varnevet, and the hare. The malet geirahin. They chew their cud. Veyeshlahin shinaim lamalo. And they do have teeth. So the fact that you chew your cud is no indication that you don't have teeth. Vitmeim. In addition, on top of all that, they are tameim. Va'od. And this is probably the most important question. The Gemara leaves it as the last question, but the most important question is, shinayim mitivi be'oraita. Where does this teeth business show up? Their own teeth are not mentioned in the Torah whatsoever. So how can you say something that chews its cud doesn't have upper teeth? So what? What do the upper teeth have to anything to do with kashrut over here? The Torah doesn't mention teeth at all. Elohi kamar, and then if you reverse it, it makes a lot more sense, and that's what the Gemara is about to do. It says, kol beima she'en la shinayim namalo, any animal that does not have teeth above, then be a du'a she'imalat geira. Then you know that it chews its cud. Meaning that one of the features of a ruminant is that it lacks upper teeth. It lacks canines, incisors. It doesn't have the ability to tear. It has the ability to crush food with its molars, but it doesn't have the ability to tear or bite because it's missing all those teeth in that area. So then you know, this is the chain of events. If it lacks upper teeth, then it must be a ruminant. It must be, malet geira, it chews its cud. And if it chews its cud, it means it must have a split hoof. And if that's true, if all those are true, then it is tehora. So the only thing you need to know whether to determine whether an animal is kshera to eat is to know if it has upper teeth. V'livdok b'parsute. Let me help you out. Why don't you just check its hooves? Why are you relying on the fact that it doesn't have upper teeth to tell you that it's split hoof? Just look at its hooves and you'll know. They were cut off. The hooves were already cut off. You find an animal without the hooves on it and you want to know if it's tehora or not. Person was traversing the desert. Finds an animal whose hooves have been removed. Bodek b'fiyah. Does a little dental check. Checks in the mouth. If it doesn't have any upper teeth, biyadua shitora. Then you know for certain that you can eat it. Im lav, not biyadua shitmea. Then you know that it's a problematic animal. It's a tmea. Ubilvad. There's one exception to this you have to know. Shiakir gamal. You must know the camel. Because the camel has that feature, which is that it doesn't have the upper teeth, and yet it's not kosher. The Gemara says, that's not true. Gamal nibeitle. The gamal does have those canines on the upper side. So if that's the case, you won't get confused. You don't even need to know about the gamal. Obavachi akir ben gamal. The Gemara says, no, you have to know about the young camels. Because we said above that the young camels don't have these teeth, don't have these nibe in them. And therefore, that's the only animal you have to be careful for. All other animals that are lacking upper teeth, upper incisors, canines, they are ruminants. And if they're ruminants, they chew their cud, they must have split hooves. If they have split hooves, then they are kshirim. So that's the sequence of events. The only animal that has that same sequence is the gamal. Or it's not even the gamal, the camel, but it's the ben gamal, the young camel. The young camel, which has no upper teeth, chews its cud, does not have split hooves. Therefore, it's not kasher. So therefore, you'd have to make sure you knew about this gamal, this camel, or to recognize the camel, because we're missing the hooves here, so you can't see that they're not split hooves. So you need to know to exclude the camel from the possibility or range of possibilities that we're speaking here. So lava mart. Ika ben gamal. Now you just agreed that there is an exception to this rule about upper teeth, which is the young camel. Ika nami mini achrina de dami le ben gamal. Who says that we don't have other species or other animals that are similar to the ben gamal, that are similar to this young camel? But how do you know that that's the only animal with this feature? Maybe there are other animals of a similar class that also have these similar features. Mar says lo sakadatcha, you never think that way. The tani debi rabbi shmol. We have this memra from the base measures of Rabbi Shmuel, that the gamal kimalat gerai, who? That the problem with the gamal is, and this is what the Torah says, the gamal is a ruminant that chews its cud, but it does not have split hooves. So why does it tell us it's a gamal kimalat gerai, who? Shalit ba'olamo yodea. The ruler of the world knows. She'en lecha davar male gerai v'tamei ele gamal. There is no other animal in the world that chews its cud and is tamei, except for the gamal, except for the camel. Pichach parat bo akatuv hu. Therefore, it has this miut in the pasuk. The gamal kimelat gera hu. Hu, meaning it's the only one that has this feature. No other animal has this feature. Now, that's not true. We just mentioned before that the Torah gives other examples of malei gera, including the shafan and the arnevet. How can you say that the gamal is exclusive? So in that, so Rashi says, when the Gemara made this, she'en lecha davar shemalei gera v'tamei ela gamal, when the Gemara made that definitive statement, he says, v'chaveirav amurim b'parsha. Gamal is just a header for all the other animals, including that parsha, where the Torah enumerates those that are chewing their cud. So if the Torah is enumerating those that chew their cuds, be sure that those are the only ones that chew their cuds that are not kasherim. Everything else that chews its cud, for sure or for certain, is kasher. Going along the way, and he finds an animal. He wants to do this check, which is to look into its mouth and to see what the status of its teeth are, to know if the animal is kasher. But sure enough, the mouth is sliced down, it's filed down. He can't tell what the story is with regards to the teeth. Do a check of its hooves. If it has split hooves, then you know for certain that it's talking about a kosher animal. If not, you know for certain that it's tamei. Now, is that very true? Shiakir, what does he have to know? What's the one example in the Torah of a split-hooved animal that is not kasher? The chazir, the pig. He must be able to recognize that it's not a pig. Lav amar, ika chazir. So again, they ask the same question. Well, now you say there's one exception to this rule, that's the pig. So if there's an exception like the pig, ika nami mina achrina dedami lechazir. Sure, there are other species or types of animals in that class that have that same feature, which is that they chew their cud, and they do not have split hooves, and they're not kshirim. So why can't you rely on that? So lo sa'akadatcho detane ber bishmol. We have another memra from Rabbi Shmuel. Veta chazir ki mafriz parsahu. And the chazir is not kasher, even though it has a split hoof. There's no animal that is split hoof that is tamei el chazir, except for the chazir. That's why he's mafriz parsa hu. That hu comes to tell you a miut that this is unique, that it has these split hooves and it's not kasher. Any other animal that you find that has split hooves, you can assume is kasher. Someone again who was traveling, traversing the desert, and he finds animals there, but the teeth are gone, or there's something missing from the jaw, so he's unable to take, it was filed down. From that information, he can't make a conclusion that it's kasher. But then he gets caught on the other side, which is that its hooves are cut off. Now he's missing the two simanim mupakim. He's missing the siman that would tell us that this is a ruminant, that this animal chews a cud. And we're also missing the information about the split hooves. The hooves are cut off. You don't have information about that. So what do? Bodek bibsara. You check its flesh. Imalech sheti ve'arev. If it goes vertically and horizontally, bi'adua shi Torah, then you know that for certain it is Torah. Ubavad shiakir arud. As long as you know about the wild donkey. Lav amart ika arud. So don't you see, if this donkey is an exception to the rules, then ikanami mini achrina the daimili arud. Maybe there are many other animals that are similar to the arud. And then we would have to worry about all of those. So when it says gemirei deleka, we have a mesora, halacha lemoshe misinai, or a mesora, that there are no other animals besides the wild donkey that have this feature of the flesh going both horizontally and vertically. Where do you have to check the flesh in order to know this? So on the wings of the tail. And as Rashi says, tacham etzem aliyah, so below the bone of the hide, shkrim anka of the hip, yesh basar shekoshirim, korim oto nikra sheti, yesh nikra erev. And when you peel off the flesh from there, sometimes it comes off horizontally, dringy in that direction, and sometimes it comes off vertically, comes from top to bottom. Therefore, in order to know that certain you have an animal that's kasher here, you're missing all the other simanim. This will be the last siman to check, is its hide in the back below the tail. You check the flesh that's over there, the direction of the flesh, whether it's only horizontally or only vertically, or if it has a mixture of both, then you know that it is an animal that is kasher. Right now, the Gemara says, Simanei Chaya. Tam Rabbanan. Elu hein Simanei Chaya. So these are the Simanim of Chaya. The Gemara says, Simanim Chaya. Chaya b'chlo b'mahi, the Simanim. What are you giving me a list of Simanim here? Chaya is a subset, a subcategory of Behema, and we have the information about a Behema, what the Simanim are. Mafreset Parsa, and Malat Gerah. So those simanim already know. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, now this is what we're coming to figure out. Lahatir chelba. We want to know if it's really a chaya. We have animals that are behemot. We have animals that are chayot. One of the big nafkuminot between a behema and a chaya is that the fats of a chaya are mutar ba'achila. So if they are mutar ba'achila, question is, how do we know if it's a chaya? We know, yes, you have to shecht it with the simanim. A behema has that same requirement as well. That doesn't help us to solve the problem whether it's a behema or chaya. So hachi gemar, elu hein simanei chaya shechalba mutar. What are the simanim of a chaya whose milk is mutar? Kosheish la karnayim v'talfayim. Anything that has horns and talfayim are hooves or pointy hooves. V'doshe omer yesh la karnayim yata tzarech lagzor al talfayim. If you see that it has horns, don't worry about the hooves issue. That always comes along. Yesh la talfayim, on the other hand, if it just has these pointed hooves, you got to go check if it really had horn. V'keresh, I'm not going to translate this animal, we'll get to it in a second. Even though it has a single horn on it, mutar, that's fine. Klalohu, is this really a principle that you can say, as long as it has horns, you're okay? V'ari'ez, deish lo karnayim v'talfayim. You have the goat that has horns, v'talfayim, and has these pointy hooves. V'chalbo asur. An ez, a goat, is a behema. So of course it's chelev is asur. When I says no, when I say that it has horns, I mean kruchot. Kruchot, Rashi says gilde gilde, that it's layer upon layer. It's like rounded layer upon rounded layer, one on top of the other. That's what it has to be, and that would exclude the ez. Very sure. What about the ak, the kruchot, that has this layered effect, this circular layered effect that creates the horns? V'chelbo asur. And again, the chelev is no good to eat, even though that's one of your definitions of what it should be. Gemara says, charukot b'inan. You not only do you need it to be rounded, but you also need to be charukot, which is notched. Or you know how you see, anytime you see a keren, it's lines that run horizontally or etches horizontally into the horn as it comes up. It's notched. B'inan. V'ari ezd de charukot v'chelbo asur. What about, again, the goat? The goat has this etching in the horns. V'chalbo asur, and it's also chalbazur. So Gemara says, no, mifutzalot b'inan. We need them to branch out, to fork out, in order to have the animal be classified as a chaya. So Gemara says, v'ari tzvi, de'en mifutzalot. What about the deer that doesn't have this branched out horns, and yet its chelev is muteret? V'ari tzvi, de'en mutzalot, v'chalbo mutar. Gemara says, chadurot b'inan. Now we add an additional qualification now of chadurot, which is that they are agulot, they're rounded. Rashi says, agulot shemati velo kishel eiz. Not like that of the goat, shein rechavot, they are wide, velo nira. Because if that's the case, the kruchot hainu agulot. Then we already have kruchot, which are defined as agulot. Now I have two words saying the same thing. But rather, chadurot mean pointy. So it's that be pointy in order to qualify. Now there's a difficulty over here, a clear difficulty in the Gemara, which is, Gemara says that a deer's horns do not fork out. They do not branch out. And you know, we've all seen a deer that have magnificent horns that do branch out and fork out. So how could you suggest that? So Rashi deals with the answer one way. Lo yadana mai kamar. Rashi says, I don't know what the Gemara is talking about. Da vade mitzolotein. We know for certain that the horns of the deer do branch out. Nir be'enai, shema shanu korin. That what we call tzvi, a deer, lo ayuim korim tzvi. They did not call it tzvi. Elo oto anikraim steinbuk, kanaim shalem, enan mutzalim. But rather, it's this type of deer that is not the deer that they're speaking about, and what we define as a deer are not the same animal. But rather, the tzvi is this steinbuk, which is the pictures here, if you want to see, if you see in the Sichot Chulin, he has a picture of the animal. It's not a deer, but rather it's the animal called the Steinbok or Tzvi, Artzias Rili, Shekanav Enim Futsalot, that doesn't have that, but a much straighter form, more of like some sort of mountain deer, rather than the typical deer that we think about. While Tosafot brings down the Rabbeinu Tam, who disagrees with Rashi, and the Rabbeinu Tam says, Zehu she'otan she'okrim tzvi. The tzvi that the Gemara calls tzvi, we also call it tzvi. So then what does he do with the fact that the horns do branch out and they do fork out, and the Gemara here seems to indicate otherwise? He says that's not a problem. But hachi garsin and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam changes the girsa. Not mifutzalot, but rather mivutzalot. Klamar zgufot v'shehem kufot. They're upright and their tops are bent over. But that of the deer shoots straight out. So when we require they be mevutzalot, Mevutzalot would be straight with a little bend at the end, whereas the deer does not have that category, does not have that qualification, because its horns are erect and straight. Right now, the Gemara continues with the statement we said above, and I said we would come back to this, is B'keresh, afapi she'en lo ela keren achat, even though it has a single horn, mutar. Now, what this animal, this keresh, is with the single horn, right? The obvious thing that comes to mind is a unicorn, but for whatever reason, that's probably not what we would assign it to. The Gemara in other places mentions that there is a wild ox that has a single horn. Again, I don't think that's what they're speaking about here. The translations that I saw, Jastrow translates it as an antelope. He also mentions unicorn, but a type of antelope or a gazelle. That's how he translates the word. And I saw that interestingly enough, the Sichat Chulin wants to suggest over here that the Keresh is actually a giraffe. Talking about a giraffe, if you think about a giraffe has, on its head, has these two circular ears. Then it has these two antennae that come out. And then there's this little bump of cartilage in the front of it towards the middle of the nose, which looks like a horn. And that would be the single horn that we're talking about here. That keren achat of that cartilage is the horn that's referenced over here. And therefore, he claims that we're talking about a giraffe. So I'm going to review the keresh. What is this keresh? Tavio de Beilai. It is the deer of this place called Beilai. Tigris. Or the tigress, Arya de Beilai, is the lion of this place called Beilai. Amar Rav Kana, about this lion of the place called Beilai, Teisha Amhato, there are 9 amot, Havi ben Ono la Ona. From one year to the next, there are 9 amot, de Arya de Beilai, of this lion that is found in Beilai. Amar Rav Yosef, Shitzar Amhato. Have a mashke, the tavia de Beilai. The deer of Beilai, its skin was 16 amot long. So we're talking about here an animal of great heft and size that was fearsome. So I'm like case of the Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. The Caesar says to Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Elokechem kariye matil. Your God is compared to a lion. Tichtiv, arye sha'ag milo yira. When the lion roars, who's not afraid? So you see, the lion roaring is obviously a Kodesh Baruch Hu. My revute. What's the Chiddush? Parsha Katil Aryo. A horseman, cavalry, can kill a lion. So if that's the case, it's not such a good situation if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is compared to a lion that can't be killed. Samle Lav Ki Hay Aryo Matil. Hashem is not compared to the lion that you're looking at over here. It's Ki Aryo De Beilai Matil. Talking about that lion, Beilai. That unique lion that we just described over here that either has 9 amot from ear to ear. Amalei beina de mechazitle. I want to see it. That's what the Caesar says. Amalei lo matzit chazitle. Won't have the possibility of seeing it. Amalei beina de mechazitle. Niale amalei lo matzit chazitle. You can't take a look at it. Amalei ivra chazinale. It says, I'm certain I want to see it, and you're going to make sure that I do see it. It says, I must see it. So then, how does the story? Here's Bai Rachme. He davened, Rav Shua ben Chananya davened, it akar miduchte, moved from his location, kaveh marchik arba mea parse, when he's still 400 parseot away, nihem, it roared, the lion, chad kala, let go of one large roar, afilu kol ma'barta, any pregnant woman, vishura, wall of Romans, nafal, fell down, at the merchak tlat mea parse, when it was in 300 parseot of proximity, Nihem, Kalarachuina, second war, Natur, Kache Vishine de Gavre. Teeth of men fell out. Now, Kache Vishine, Kache, at least according to Tos, with the Kache here we're talking about are the molars. Vishine are the incisors, the front teeth. On the other hand, Rashi seems to be indicating here that we're talking about Kache or the canines, whereas the Shine are the incisors, but not the molars. Tos vote here and many places in Shas disagrees with Rashi's understanding of what the word kache means, but he rather says the kacheim ashinaim achronim. They are the back teeth. Atochanim amachal, brush up the food. Shinaim heim ashinaim shelifnim, and the teeth, what's called shinaim, are those teeth that sit in front of the molars. Va'afhu, and the Caesar himself, nafam lekusayi la'ara, fell off his throne to the ground from the fright and the unparalleled noise that's made by this roar of the lion. I beg you, by Rachmele, Davin, the Lahadalu Duchte, that should go back home. By Rachmele, sure enough, he Davin for it, Vahadarle Latre, and it headed back home. All right, I'm going to stop over here because there's another story of the Kezar with Rabbi Shu ben Chananya, but that runs into the middle of tomorrow's daf, so we'll stop with this right here.